welcome back to another episode of the Neurological Disorder Podcast. I'm your host, Marula Barthi. This week's episode is with Dr. Ackerman, a lawyer and Parkinson's advocate. After being the primary caregiver for his mother, Sharon, who sadly passed away from Parkinson's, Dr. Ackerman strives to help other families experiencing similar struggles. In this episode, we discuss the numerous ways Dr. Ackerman is connecting families and Parkinson's organizations from across the globe to create a strong and supportive community. What is Parkinson's? It's a neurodegenerative condition, meaning the nervous system worsens over time. Specifically, Parkinson's affects the central nervous system, degenerating neurons in a part of the brain called the substantia nigra, which is responsible for movement. As a result, these nerve cells die and cannot produce dopamine, which is why those with Parkinson's perform unintended or uncontrollable movements, like shaking. Although symptoms of Parkinson's can vary greatly from person to person, individuals usually experience tremors, slowed movement, poor balance and coordination, and changes in sleep. Unfortunately, Parkinson's has no current cure, but medicines and surgery can control some of the symptoms. Dr. Ackerman and I talk about one specific procedure called DBS, or deep brain stimulation, which is a surgery that implants a device which delivers electrical pulses to parts of the brain to reduce involuntary movements. In this episode, Dr. Ackerman starts by sharing heartfelt stories about his mother and the terrible toll Parkinson's took on her independence and well-being. He later shares the struggles he faced being his mother's primary caregiver and the hardships he and his family experienced knowing that there was no cure for Parkinson's. This leads into our discussion about his inspiration to create Together for Sharon, his website with his mother's story, interviews with families and Parkinson's organizations from all over the world, and new Parkinson's legislation. Without further ado, let's welcome Dr. George Ackerman. Hi, George. Welcome to the Neurological Disorder Podcast. How are you doing today?
Good. Thank you and your viewers for your time today. I look forward to speaking.
So to start, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your mother?
Sure. My background is I've always had a passion for helping victims of crime. So I went into the law enforcement field and then also an attorney, did my PhD, and I'm a professor. But I do a lot of the, obviously, the awareness to me is a priority. And it's all about really my mother. My mother's name was Sharon, and unfortunately, 3 years ago, she passed away due to Parkinson's disease. And since then, I've dedicated my life to awareness and to hope for a cure for other individuals and families so that they never have to go through what my mother and my family has.
I'm sure many around the world are appreciating your work right now. So to the viewers who do not know what Parkinson's is, how would you describe it?
Again, I'm a doctor, but not a medical, so I usually just talk about my experiences. So from my experiences with my mother, it's a neurological condition, unfortunately, really feels like a deterioration of the mind and also the body. So physically, mentally, it affects the individual. My mother was only 69 when she passed, so that's really, in my opinion, 2023, it's quite young. A lot of individuals can live, you know, to 85 or later, pretty healthy. Some individuals with Parkinson's are able to still, you know, live late in their age. It really affects everyone differently, which is why the disease is so complicated, because you can't really generalize one person over the board. Everyone is very different. Everyone has different experiences and reacts differently to the medications and the, you know, analysis. But my mother was very independent, lived alone, was able to really live as any other individual. Unfortunately, the last year of her life, I'd say from 99 to that last year, was really the struggle when her health started deteriorating. Before that, she was diagnosed 15 years earlier, and she had a little bit of stiffness in her left arm, which made it a little bit trouble to cut food and do things, but she was still able to drive, to shop, and to live alone. But she had gone to do a study, because we were kind of out of ideas on, you know, what we could do left to help her with dealing with Parkinson's. And I think that study, unfortunately, might have accelerated her disease into a later stage. And then that last year was again one of the toughest every year. I mean, every day was something more difficult, and it felt like besides the caregiving issues, the health was just deteriorating day after day.
I'm sorry you had to watch her health deteriorate like that because I know it does take a toll on the people who are giving care as well. Because those symptoms, like, I used to work in a place where everyone had Alzheimer's, dementia, Parkinson's. And every single week when I'd go in, the people that I've known, like, they just became different people. Their symptoms got worse really fast. And it was just such a hard experience to see them like that in that state of mind. But also diseases like this, they progress. The symptoms get worse as they go. So what initial symptoms did your mother show that made you want to get her tested, and how did her symptoms progress?
Yeah, she actually also, on top of Parkinson's, had dementia. So a lot of the really sadder signs, some of her issues were internal. So that was rough because we couldn't see it. She didn't have normal tremors that individuals may have. So she wouldn't be a candidate for DBS, the deep brain stimulation. But she would tell us, you could see her toes were curling, which were signs of other things like dystonia. But she also had a lot of issues such as hallucinations, which are really that's kind of the toughest. I remember when she came back from that program, she had to go out of the area. But that night, it must have been something with the switch of the medications. And I was called at about 4 a.m. So I rushed over to her house, and she had been moving her furniture out into the street. And that's not a normal behavior for anyone. But she went out there. I was really worried and concerned. And she said she thought someone was inside the home trying to harm her. So these are the signs of hallucinations, delusions. So a lot of the behavior changed. And also, when I rushed her to the emergency room, they said she had a UTI and could have died that night. So luckily, I, in a way, saved her. But in another way, I feel like I might have not saved her, because that last year again was the spark of something really tough for everybody. But when I went back to her home to pick up some clothes, I noticed around the whole room of the, post-it notes like we use to write reminders. But on each note, she had literally written down, who is actually in the room, who might have been in another state. She even had the name of animals we owned throughout my life that weren't alive anymore. But you can see firsthand the deterioration of the mind due to Parkinson's because of this disease.
And it must have been like so hard on her because you said she was very independent. And there's like few moments of clarity with those who have dementia and Alzheimer's often. So when she did come to realize what was happening, that must have been so hard for her. And it would also been hard for you. So being her primary caregiver, what were like the struggles you faced? And did it take a toll on your mental health as well?
Yeah, actually, we started together for Sharon.com because honestly, it's more like a coping for me because I still miss her. We were really, I don't think it's odd, but we were really close. So we spoke 10 times a day my whole life. And we're really, really, was anything that happened in my life, positive or negative, she was the first person to call. And now, even today, it's really tough because my wife and I even went to like a concert, and I was so excited. We would drive home and I would call her. And now, obviously, I can't do that. But it was not easy. You can't really train to be a caregiver. I was thrown in, like they say, when you become a lawyer, with the sharks, and just handed this job. But I was really wouldn't ever regret anything. I would do it all over again. But it's very tough when we tried everything, like from chiropractic to pain management to different shots to therapy to even getting the license for medical marijuana, which is allowed illegal in Florida. And nothing worked. It was really, you would hope for something that might come along, and then, you're kind of crushed. And she always kept saying she's never going to give up, because I have three children. They were her grandkids, and she said she always wanted to be at their wedding and, all these amazing moments. But because of the disease, and we were never able to achieve that. So for me, mentally, it was tough. I had a job and a career, and I had my own family, but I had to give it all up to help her. We'd never put her in a home because we swore that we wouldn't. So that was also tough, but I'm not too sure the homes, again, just from my experience, would really, she needed 24/7 attention. Again, if we had more time another time, I could spend 10 hours on caregiving, but we had to hire people because she needed round the clock attention. She was always having stomach issues too, which we wouldn't have the time to get to. But so the disease causes many different things because the medications you take, that also causes stomach issues. So she needed someone all the time. I could be there only most of the time, but we had to go through 20 or 30 different companies for caregivers because they just weren't equipped. They even didn't know what Parkinson's was. And on top of that, with her hallucination delusions, she thought some of them were harming her. I had to actually install video cameras in her home and monitor that. And luckily, I didn't see anything too, harmful. But I would never leave my mother with someone I don't trust. So it took a year. Towards the end, the last 2 months, we finally found like the best, incredible caretaker ever, but it was already kind of ending out, winding down. It was too late. But even at that point, she didn't like people because she didn't trust them. And it was just, she was very nice, kind, friendly, and the disease makes you very frustrated. She was angry once and even threw like a light on the floor, which was not her characteristic. So that those kind of things, seeing your loved one go through that. And again, the worst is it was just, we kept hoping there'd be a cure or something. We went to six or seven different doctors. I even pulled one doctor in an office once and said, tell me the truth. Is my mother gonna, live? And he couldn't really answer it. But those are not easy words or things to, sleep about, to be able to tell someone, you don't have any answers. And that's like the helpless feeling I had even today. If we had done it all over now, I still have, there's no cure yet.
Yeah, I'm so sorry you had to experience that. You mentioned deep brain stimulation. Why did your mom not qualify for it? And can you explain what it is for the viewers who do not know what DBS is?
Yeah, I only learned it through all the interviews I've done, but it's basically brain stimulation surgery through the brain. You actually can gain some type of device that can help control the convulsions and the muscle movement. And I've had individuals I've interviewed who said they weren't aware of it and they wish they were because they would have done it 5 years earlier. It gave them the ability to, function and have a life. But again, everybody's different. My mother didn't really want to talk about it or do it. That's why I don't think she would have been a candidate. But a lot of the time, I do believe, and again, I could be wrong, a lot of it's to kind of control the movement. Like if you see Michael J. Fox, a lot of the movements where he can't control, it might control that. But again, I have individuals I'm close with that have had to go back to redo the surgery. And that's, any brain surgery is actually, frightening for that individual. Has to be an individual decision. She never, when I mentioned it, she didn't want to. And again, back to the Together for Sharon, we had the website, which is really just to keep my mother's memory alive. But I decided that I wanted to try and bring other individuals, memories out there too. So I decided a few months ago to try, why not share other individual journeys? Because it's not just about me and my family, it's about everybody going through Parkinson's. So to help awareness, I've interviewed about 300 people in just 2 months. I'm kind of cutting back now because it's overwhelming, but it's just been inspiring. And that's really what pushes me to keep going is to seeing so many individuals out there who are fighting. And one thing also, a key, which again, my mother was a little too late, but we learned is that moving and exercise is really a huge benefit for anyone going through Parkinson's because it kind of slows down the progression of the disease. So that's why you'll see walks and things around the country. And they always just say, keep moving, keep moving. That's a very big key.
Yeah, and I think what you're doing, like building a supportive community around you, is really important because it shows other people that they aren't alone in their fight. And if they have a loved one who may have passed away, it gives them some sense of support and just know that they're not alone. Talking a little bit more about your website and your interviews, I saw that you interviewed other organizations. Can you talk about what you do with these interviews and who you interview?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's something, it's funny because it's, Parkinson's and individual diagnosis is not always something that, people want to talk about. It's very, it's your life, it's private. But I find the organizations are out there obviously fighting for them. I'm only one person and one voice and one son, so I can only reach so many people. So again, my idea was why not share, an organization? Let's take an example, Parkinson's Africa, which is just, to me, it's amazing. Like, not that I have to go through Parkinson's, but that individuals, and there's about 10 million individuals around the world now. So it was a million in the US approximately, but 10 million in the world. And they just are disadvantaged. They don't have, the technology and all the aid like the US might be able to provide. So I thought, why not share their story, get them more kind of coverage, and I don't ask anything in return, which is the problem, because people are kind of in a sad way shocked that, hey, there's somebody like me doing this, like what you're doing, completely free. We don't want anything in return. I don't make any money. I don't want any money. We refuse actually to accept donations to us. So Together for Sharon is just me. It's a website. We're not a foundation. I'm always very clear with that. But I decided to focus on individuals and organizations like that one, and also Ireland and China and other countries, because I really think that if we all work together, this could be a national or international coalition. There's also something called the World Parkinson Congress that meets every few years. Last year was at Barcelona, Spain, and John Lennon actually from the Beatles was one of their big speakers. So I wasn't even aware of it, which is the problem. So I thought, again, through their incredible work and social media, I've been able to reach so many people I would never have been able to before. And that's really the interviews. It's just me interviewing organizations for Parkinson's awareness. Then I share it, and then they share it. And again, my goal is that even if we just reach one person, that we did something and changed the world together.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. In addition to these interviews, do you also do fundraisers or charity events?
Yeah, another great question. Right now, we're not a foundation because I just don't have the time. So I try to work with others. If you go to our website and click donations, there's three organizations. I try to donate my family personally and fundraise. The American Parkinson's Disease Association, which we've actually donated in 3 years about $10,000, Michael J. Fox Foundation, and the Parkinson's Foundation. But I support many others, the Brian Grant Foundation, Dave Spinney. There's so many great ones. So I don't tell anyone who to use and who to donate. I always say, if they're in your community, definitely support them. I just happened to pick those three because when my mother was sick and I was felt alone, I called those three. Unfortunately, one was, very national. They didn't have a local touch in South Florida where I'm located, but the American Parkinson's Disease Association did send a rep to our house and spoke to my mother. Unfortunately, she was again too far in to really do boxing and things or some of the program, but it touched my heart to know at least they, showed up and came over. So we try to support them, but they do a lot. They reach more individuals. They're grassroots, but again, it's just a lot more fun working with other people than being alone. We're going to be walking in there. I have a table at a lot of the walks. We have one in November. I'm actually on the committee. On Friday, we're meeting. But they have it at a park once a year, and as many people who can come will just walk. And we have a table, but it's kind of funny. We're in the middle of like a lot of pharmaceutical companies. So I'm just standing there with my wife and handing out bands for free just for awareness. And sometimes people are tentative. They won't come over because they think we're selling something. But then when they find out or discover that we're really just, there to support them and we don't want anything in return, they actually have had people crying and hugging us. So it's really like inspiring getting the, seeing people affected by this, but knowing that there are people like us out there fighting for them. And also, because of COVID, they stopped everything. And now we're finally getting back to live events. And webinars are great, but when you're, live with individuals, it's really just changes your life and motivates me to keep going.
Yeah. Where I am in Georgia, there's a lot of walks too for Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, and our school actively gets involved in these every so often. And it's really great to attend them and see everyone just there. It just feels like everyone is supported. And I want to continue getting our school more involved in these types of activities.
What you're doing is amazing because the young people of the America and around the world need to, if we can get everyone involved, and that would be really change like game changing, they say, because it's just important to focus on now. If you have time, any of the viewers, if you go to the Michael J. Fox Foundation, there's the first sponsored legislative bill ever in history for Parkinson's called End Parkinson's Disease. You can also go to my website, togetherforsharon.com, and scroll down and it'll link right to what their efforts are. But they're actually, and you can even speak to your own local congressman or woman, and it's the first bill ever. It's going to fund the end of Parkinson's, but for helping with different types of insurance and awareness, but and also budgeting literal money to help find a cure. So we've never had anything like that. They have it for Alzheimer's, but unfortunately, Parkinson's been in the background. Now it's becoming on the forefront. I was able to speak for 3 minutes to my representative and give a little bit about my mother. I taped it, and it's funny, but I practice it for, and I speak publicly a lot. I love speaking, but practice my 3 minute little speech for months. I was fine. When I gave it, I actually kind of fell apart, and I'm 6'2", 200-pound big guy, but I fell apart because there was one part of my little speech that, my mother's dream was being able to blow bubbles in the backyard on Sunday morning with her grandkids. And every time I say that, even now, it kind of breaks my heart because of Parkinson's disease. She wasn't able to continue to do that. So really, people now like us can really make a difference by reaching out to our Congress individual representatives and tell them we want this bill passed. It's bipartisan. There should be no argument because it really, Parkinson's affects everyone. It could affect me one day. And I just think it's incredible what they're doing because they also include us. A lot of big organizations, they don't really have the time. But Michael J. Fox Foundation has really been focusing on grassroots too and getting people like me an opportunity to also be involved.
Yeah, that's great. I'll definitely link it in the description so the viewers can access it. Continuing our topic on the legislative side of this, I saw on your website a little bit about the National Plan to End Parkinson's Act. Are you familiar with this piece of legislation, and what is the goal of this piece of legislation?
Yeah, that's the one I just referred to. So that's it. So just the first bill ever sponsored and through the U.S. Congress, House, and just to end Parkinson's. So again, the key is awareness. The key is funding to be able to find a cure. They need scientists. They need to be able to gain support from throughout the world. But here, for the purpose of that, it's just the United States. But with that funding, you can really help develop new biomarkers. So there's a lot of research. Again, I'm not a scientist, but I felt that if we had more attention and more awareness, we would have already had a cure. And unfortunately, my mother, didn't have the chance. But my dream is that other people don't have to go through what we did again. And that if we have a pill, even just to, slow down the progression or to end it forever, then we've all, accomplished our goal. But I think that with the support throughout the all 50 state or all of our entire, Congress and citizens, that we can really make a difference and now put it into law finally.
Yeah, definitely. Are you updated on any like clinical trials or research that is focused on curing Parkinson's as of right now?
Yeah, the big one is if you go online, just type in Michael J. Fox science and then also biomarkers. They're just discovered for the first time some special tests that they may be able to do. It might be painful, but they can put a needle in your spine and they might be able to one day determine if you are going to have the disease. And what that does is obviously, again, it doesn't cure it, but it can help treat it better. So right now, there's other diseases that may mirror Parkinson's, but it's not Parkinson's. So you could be misdiagnosed and take medicine that can, harm you. So we need to be able to really diagnose it properly and then have the right tools to actually, help the individual to slow the progression.
What's the earliest stage that you can get diagnosed for Parkinson's at? Is it only when you start showing symptoms, or is it prior to that?
Problem is, you could get diagnosed, not even know, and then go into different stages. I looked a lot about this. My mother, unfortunately, was stage five at the end. So they don't really have a specific, again, it's different for everyone, but I have read that there's five stages and the fifth is the final. They do have, unfortunately, long, well, fortunately, but long-term hospice. Usually hospice is just something someone who's at end of life goes into. You're usually only there for a few days, but in Florida, they had a program which my mother applied and got that it was like a year. So it was long-term hospice. The problem with hospice, though, is it's an end of life. So the only thing individuals with Parkinson's hope for, besides a cure, is to be able to, keep working out, keep having physical therapy. But my mother got to the point where really physically she couldn't do it anymore. And when you go into hospice, they don't allow you to have physical therapy, which I think is really ridiculous because that was really the last day she lost hope. And if you don't have hope and the ability to do things like physical therapy, it's very hard to ever recover. And she kind of went again downward every week with her health and her weight. You know, she started losing weight. She went from being able to walk with a cane to then a walker, then to a walker to a wheelchair. And she didn't want to do any of that because she was, you know, always healthy her whole life. She had no other issues but Parkinson's. Obviously, the medicines and things can cause other problems, which she had. So I always do argue and believe that she did only have Parkinson's. But there are others who say that you won't die from Parkinson's, you die with it. So, like I started this discussion, everyone's so different. It's very difficult to determine.
So what is some useful piece of advice that you would give to others who are either primary caregivers or who may be diagnosed with Parkinson's and have symptoms that are progressing?
I think the most important thing is never give up and know that you have other people like me out there that have gone through it and use us for information, use us for, you know, advice. Again, they're going to have different experiences and different situations, but I think the worst part of it is the loneliness because again, I really felt alone. I was lucky to have my wife who was incredible support, but it's just a horrible feeling alone. So I want other people to know there are people like me out there who send out love and support and that they're never going to be alone. And I won't stop fighting ever until we have a cure for everybody else.
And I'm pretty hopeful for the future because in the past 100 years, we've come so far from not even knowing what the disease is to finding a way to diagnose it. And recently, with our COVID, it just shows how fast our medical system is equipped with finding treatments and developing cures. So I think in the next, hopefully, 20 years, we will definitely have a cure for Parkinson's and others will not have to go through what you did and they'll be able to look at their loved ones again, and their loved ones will be in the right state of mind because I guess with Parkinson's, it kind of changes your entire personality. So I hope no one else will have to go through that, and I hope our medical system will develop a cure pretty fast.
And you're the future. So I always said if we did have a foundation, I'd love to, even get scholarships for individuals like you or someone going to medical school who would want to work in advancing different technologies and trying to find the cure. That's one thing I do. If I asked if I have a goal, not now, but maybe, I mean, I'm hoping we have a cure so I can stop this. And I love it because I get to meet amazing people like you and all the interviews, but I want to end my interviews by saying you don't need me now because we have a cure, and then I'll rest in peace. But until then, we all have to continue to fight. But I would like in the future to have turn it in together for sure, maybe into a foundation, and then offer scholarships too, and also have our own events. But right now, it's not, practical for me because of the time.
In addition to the Michael J. Fox Foundation, do you have any other helpful links that you'd like to share for others going through the same situation?
Yeah, I won't bore you, but if you, because I could go through my website for hours, but if you go to the website, www.togetherforsharon.com, you'll actually be able to follow my mother and my journey. And I'm actually writing a book currently. We're in chapter three. I'm not supposed to say that, but I'm so excited that it's hard to, not tell anybody. But so we have a few planned. I mean, I don't know if it'll happen, but in my dreams and brain, I'm writing one on our journey. The next one will be actually a compilation of all our interviews. Then I wanted to do a kid's book because my daughter, she's now 11, but at the time she was about, 7. I had no clue how to tell her. One day we were actually sitting, and I write about this in the book, sitting on my mother's bed on a Sunday morning, and my mother started hugging her towel and saying how much she loved you, my daughter, but it wasn't my daughter, it was a towel. And my daughter kind of laughed in a sad way. Because none of us even understood the disease or hallucinations. And, it's not easy for me, even if it's your daughter, to explain that. And we kind of just brushed it off and moved on, but it haunts me, being it. So I think we need a kids book for, grandmothers, for grandkids, and things like that. I know there are out there, but mine's kind of different. And then another big one, because of my background, is I want to educate not just the law enforcement field, but the whole entire emergency management field. I've heard stories where officers or any, individual in emergency management may pull somebody over thinking it might be a DUI, like drunk driving while intoxicated, but it's actually Parkinson's. So there's just a lot of awareness even in that field that needs to be done. So those are some of my future goals. But if you go to the website, you can click about us. You also see our story, the interviews, donation link, and my favorite one is there's a one called Partnership. So if you click on that, you'll see all the different amazing organizations around the country that I reached out to. So you can actually, I want them to use Together for Sharon as a resource where now you don't have to look everywhere. It's all right there. And then if you click media, you'll see magazines, articles, blogs. Well, it's a lot. It just keeps growing. And today's hopefully our podcast, at that. But they're all just, great resources. And the one thing I have to tell you, whether I have a lot of school degrees and experience, I still have a lot to learn. And I learn everything every day from everybody I meet. And, and just today I had an interview with a gentleman who was diagnosed and he told me his journey and I share that with the world. But just everyone's so different, so many experiences. I got the opportunity to speak to Muhammad Ali's daughter. That was an incredible honor. Also some other people who are just, they're not celebrities, but they're really well known in the Parkinson's community. And I find it's a small community and it's you'll get to know it's a lot of the same people. And I just, I love that I lost my mother, which I hate. I love that I've gained so many other individuals who've touched my life. And it would never have happened if not for the disease. So this, I don't like saying benefits, but you have to always, look to the positive. But again, then you look to, I'm not going to lie, even last night I didn't sleep because I thought about my mother. I thought about how we can do more. And again, today's t speaking with you helps me. Not just mentally, but also gives me hope too that we have individuals like you, fighting and even just, giving us a few minutes to shed some light on a horrible disease that I just feel that more people need to be aware. I myself, when, for 14 years, I didn't even know what it was. My mother was very quiet. Like she liked to keep things in because she didn't want to bother everybody, which I don't, I wish she didn't do that. But it wasn't until that one day when I had to rush to the hospital when I like had to take over her life, whether she wanted me to or not. I mean, whether it was banking, to shopping, to driving, we bought her a home to be closer to us, and sadly, we're actually sitting. I'm talking to you in my new house. We've been here 2 years, but we bought this and put a room in just for my mother, but she didn't make it. So it was, every time I walk by that one room, it's almost like a horror movie for me because I think about. What if she had made it? But then again, I don't think I personally could have handled the disease. After a while, it's just tough. So, anyway, I don't like regrets, but I do have some, I don't know if the word's regret, but some wishes that, but I don't think we could have changed anything.
And I think the work you're doing is amazing. You're spreading awareness, not just to adults, but as you're saying with your children's book, to people of younger ages who could probably not understand the full complexity of this condition, but it really helps. I think the work you're doing is really great, and I hope you continue doing it in the future, bringing international organizations together, people from all corners of the globe. It's great.
Thanks. Yeah, it means a lot. And like I said, every time I feel burnt out or tired, whether it's from work or the kids, or doing this, I think about a new person who I might not know, and I, then I get excited again because I want them to also have their information and their journey shared. So the only people that hurt to me are the ones that I don't know about, and there's nothing you could do about it. I'm only, one person. There's only 24 hours a day. But I mean, I do a lot of research just trying to learn about other stories, other organizations. And, if someone hears this podcast and wants to reach out, I'm just a quick email, the email's togetherforsharon@gmail.com, like we speak. But, again, I'm always out there and I'm never going to stop. So till there's a kid.
Well, thank you for being on my podcast. I loved hearing about your story, your mother, and the inspiring work you're doing to help raise awareness for Parkinson's around the globe. So I hope you continue doing it. And thank you for speaking to me and being on my podcast.
Thank you. And to all your listeners, I really appreciate it. And it's from my heart. I want everyone to know out there in the Parkinson's community, whether diagnosed or caregivers or in the future diagnosed, that There are people like me who are out there, and we love you, we support you, and I'll never stop fighting until every family and every individual has a cure. So thank you all again.
Thank you.